tunes with 21 Black.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hakeem, Jay Jers, Dream Team, Big Chips. Lyrically gifted, I keep your mind twisted. Spoken word poetry, I keep your heart lifted. Universal bound, I travel across the stars. Landed on Earth, I travel that far. Back in existence, since my time of birth. My soul is timeless, I know my true worth. Open up a book, I really endure. Take it off the shelf, study some more. Summonize the facts, kick it on the track. Vibrate wisdom, count it to a stack. Lesson out lungs, got money to burn. Take it to the bank, it's the wealth you earn. Treat it to the poor and it's living your soul. Strive in life if you want much more. Push down the gin, pick up the pen. Free from the pen, 5 plus 10.
United we stand, divided we fall. If we could come together, we could go to Mars. From the plans of the king, we could conquer all. But without education, we ain't going that far. United we stand, divided we fall. If we could come together, we could go to Mars. From the plans of the king, we could conquer all. But without education, we ain't going that far.
My third eye's awoken, I see the sky's open. Knowledge of self, encourage words of focus. Youngin' in the game, but the world's so explosive. And I don't watch TV, the mess is so cool.
Welcome to YARN, Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school. Today's topic is kids and teachers in a classroom, how to build a working relationship. We have our co-host in the studio, Trent Myers.
What's up?
What's up, Trent? And we have today our special guest, will be Mr. John Brandon, teacher at Parkside Middle School. He will be here today discussing this critical topic about building a relationship in the classroom with teachers. He'll be giving his critical advice, sharing some of his experiences, and we hope to have a great discussion. But before we jump to that discussion with Mr. John Brandon, it's holidays. Trent, tell us what's going on with your life, man. What you doing for the holidays?
Well, I went Thanksgiving shopping early. I bought all the groceries and food that I needed. My mom and my grandpa, glad to have them here with me. And we're going to have, a really old-fashioned cookout. My grandpa wants to pull out the grill and barbecue some of the food. I hope everybody has a good time. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. You know Christmas is just right around the corner also.
That's what's up. Let me ask another question before we bring our special guest on. You just recently graduated from T.A. Wilson and transitioned to college, you know. Tell us a little insight, man. What has that been like so far for you? Share it with our listeners.
Well, for one, for me, as I graduated, I thought college was going to be easy. It's not as easy as people want it to be. Hold on, please. We'll be right back. Sorry for the delayed reaction, but like I said, and when you go to college, look for resources. Like they said, the amount of time, hours you spent in college and your classrooms, you have to spend twice as much out studying in order to succeed and pass. It is a true statement. It's really hard work. So it's really good to get those resources when you can get them. For example, I go to JC, and we have a thing called CSS, the Center for Success, and I go there quite often because I need my help with my work, and that's me using my resources.
That's excellent. Thanks for that update. I'm sure our fellow students out there be inspired by those words. Once again, you guys listen to YARN, Youth Action Radio Network, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school. You can tune in live by calling 646-787-8151, or, of course, you can listen in live blogtalkradio.com/youthactionradio. At this time, we're going to welcome our special guest to the show. His name is Mr. John Brandon. He's a teacher at middle school at Parkside.
How are you, John?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're fine. Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Fantastic.
We want to preface this topic about kids in the classroom, how to build a working relationship. I want to preface this by reading to you a story, a student, a former student of Parkside, who found himself kicked out of Parkside and was had to enroll in 4th Street Learning Center, an alternative program. And his story directly relates to the topic that we're talking about kids and teachers in the classroom and about how do we build that working relationship and what's needed from that student and what's needed from that teacher and how they connect. So I want to read to you briefly from his story. His name is Frank Anderson, and his story is published in the book Our School Life, an anthology of student stories and lyrics about getting off the school to prison pipeline. He writes, "My name is Frank Anderson, and I go to the 4th Street Learning Center, but I keep trying to go back to Parkside Middle School. But it's hard when I don't listen to teachers and be disrespectful. But I'm trying to get my grades up and not go to jail. All I got to do is listen to Hakeem. He can get me out the street. I don't want to live like a bum. This is very dumb. But I'm not like that. I'm a good kid. But when people talk stuff to me, I listen and get off my focus and I try to get back. This is my rap I wrote. It's a tragedy how these little kids are getting shot out their misery. It's seriously not funny. And when I was a little kid, I loved the Easter Bunny. You know it's hard to get money. When I get through school, I'm going to do the right thing. When I rap, I kind of sing. But it's all right because I do the right thing." So that's this young man's story about having been kicked out of school and trying to fight and earn his way back. And it kind of relates to the classroom environment. So from a teacher's point of view, talk to us about that relationship and this young man. Say, for example, he was in your classroom at one time. Maybe he could have been. You know, what's going on with our kids in the classroom? How do we build this relationship?
Well, excellent topic, man. I want to take a second to just commend you on approaching this topic and recognizing its importance in our schools, our public schools in particular, because this is an issue. It's an epidemic where we have these students who have gifts. They are talented. They are willing to contribute, but they just don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel like they come into a place where they can prosper. And the reason they don't feel that way, I'm sorry to say, it a lot of times it begins with the instructor, the head of the classroom, the person who is the facilitator, the educator, you know, to kind of facilitate this process, right? In a classroom, students deserve, and it is necessary for them to have, if they are going to be successful, it's important for them to feel comfortable, to feel like they're accepted, be themselves to a certain extent, and to feel like they can participate and contribute to a PLC, is what we call it, a professional learning community, to where everybody is at the same level. And if students don't have that set up, if they don't have, you know, the demeanor, if they don't experience that when they walk into a classroom every day, then they will feel out of place. They'll feel uncomfortable. They'll feel like other students are better than themselves, and they will resort to a lot of the behaviors that are a lot of times because they're frustrated. You know, they won't listen to the teacher. You know, I'm thinking, you know, at the same time about what you just read about that young man. He said that, you know, he does things that are counterproductive. He knows it. He recognizes it. He's cognizant of his actions, but they are the result of him feeling like he is at a disadvantage, right? And when you are at a natural disadvantage, when you feel like you're at a disadvantage anyways, you tend to kind of go against the grain, to challenge, because you still want people to know that you are important, right? You want others to know that you are in a classroom, that you have some value. So instead of expressing it academically, you just express it in a way that's counterproductive to academic success. So a lot of times that's what happens, you know, and the student that is underestimated, the student that is undervalued can never be successful in the classroom. And that's why I say it starts with the teacher, it starts with their attitude, it starts with checking that at the door, it starts with understanding. You know, you don't make assertions without really understanding a young person's background. You don't have any assumptions about them. When a student walks into my classroom, for example, Hakeem, I make sure to let them understand, to help them understand that they have a clean slate, and whatever has happened to them in years past has been wiped clean. because I don't know anything about them. I know, you know, I go back and look at their behavioral detail. I can go back and see what the grades were like. But that was a year ago, right? And I can even listen to what other teachers say, you know, because we hear, like, you know, about the students that are coming into our class, the upcoming sixth grade class or the upcoming seventh grade class was bad or this day was bad. So the opportunity to start judgment is there. But as an educator, as somebody who is in charge of their development, okay, we're talking about young leaders. We're talking about future leaders in our community. It is important for each and every one of them to feel like they have a legitimate chance, right, and to feel like can learn the way that they prefer to learn. But that's bridging on to another type of conversation. That's my approach. When students walk into the classroom, they have a clean slate. I don't judge them at all. I'm completely understanding about them, but I can do that because I've been in their shoes, right? And that is the importance of having diversity in our schools and having people that, you know, these students can have conversations with.
I really like your point of interest and how you go on about that, because, you know, it's not easy for kids when they have a background of that type of history and they think that the teacher is automatically going to assume that they're bad, or maybe they got an older relative that's been through the classroom and it's like a lot of pressure when that older relative did better than you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a lot of pressure because the young students, they understand that they can do it. But if they haven't done it in the past, it's almost twice as much pressure because it's a learned behavior. It's a new learned behavior. You have to convince yourself that you can do it. And you have to have other people around you that can help you to continue to convince yourself and to help you develop your thinking in a way that you know that you are going to be successful. It's not an if. If I'm successful, no, that can't be part of the conversation. It's when you are successful, right? And if they don't have somebody that is a complete 100% advocate, and I mean reaching out to the student, reaching out to mom or grandma, whoever the guardian is, if you don't have somebody who is consistently telling you that you can be great, even on your worst days, then you will doubt yourself because that's what you're used to. That's what's habitual for yourself as a student who doesn't have a record of doing well, right? You tell yourself it's really easy to fall back into that, well, I'm going to fail anyway type of attitude. And the only thing that could change that is if every single day, I almost want to say, okay, somebody is in your face motivating you and believe that you can do it, right?
Mm-hmm. I know it's one of the most hardest things to do is believe in yourself. Like my college teacher has told me, the number one person that can help you succeed are those of other people in your life that have a positive effect on you and yourself. It's a proven fact that self-encouragement is the number one reason why people act the way they do, because they don't have enough self-encouragement to help them succeed in what they need. And that's why we got other people out there that are in our life that are important to us to help us.
Absolutely, man. That self-esteem part is essential. Self-esteem, self-efficacy, realizing that you can do it, essentially, is what it comes down to. Having an attitude, having a belief system that you can naturally fall back on where you can motivate yourself. Because it's awesome that, you know, when you have, you know, mentors or, you know, educators or family members that can motivate you, but it also has to be a natural belief for yourself. But that also has to be instilled. You start off school believing that you can be successful, but it's so easy for us to be thrown off course in that way of thinking. It is much easier for a student to start thinking that he can't be successful than he can be successful. It almost sounds like the default position for a lot of our students in our community, they can't be successful, and they need to be kind of pumped up to the point where they can be, when it should be the other way around, right? We should have to prove that they can't be. So definitely, and that self-esteem part, that believing in yourself and having others tell that you should be believing in yourself, and other people modeling and demonstrating what that looks like, to be a firm believer in your abilities no matter what. The for which we do the best, unfortunately, at making students believe in themselves is sports. right? You think about sports. It doesn't matter how terrible some of these young people are at basketball. They still believe they got a crossover, right? They still believe they can develop a jump shot. Still believe that they can be the fastest, no matter if they're the slowest person out there, you know? And that's where, because they see that on TV. They see in college and professional sports and, you know, in a neighborhood, people who are continually working on themselves because that's a dedicated interest when it should be the same thing in school. It should be no matter how terrible your grades are, it should be no matter how terrible your writing skills are, your math skills, you can always get better. Okay, you can work on those fractions. You can work on those exponents. You can develop there's no such thing as not being good at it, right? And people who, young students who are successful, they believe that they're unsuccessful because they just believe they just can't do it, right? And that should never be the case. They should always believe. Right. Just cut me off. If I go on too long, man, feel free to cut me off because sometimes I'll get to, you know, almost preacher mode.
I have a question. We know that that the school climate definitely has an overall effect on a children's academic success. But how does the school climate, the overall school climate, how does that affect your job as a teacher in working with a diversified classroom of 20 to 24 students that are out in that climate, in that school climate, and are affected by that school climate, whether that school climate be positive or negative? Some schools have a greater, a more positive environment than others. So how difficult does that make your job, and how does that affect you in your approach to teaching?
Well, you know, and Hakeem, you know this, it starts at the top. It starts with the lead instructor, the professional instructor, the principals. It starts with those guys. They have to make it a point to realize that diversity is something that's accepted and that we aren't going to, or who learn differently, or who behave differently in a special category, right? You do a lot about zero tolerance. If we have a principal, for example, we have a new principal at Parkside, Jeremy Patterson, as Ken, at least I know you're aware, and he is fantastic at helping teachers to understand the teachers who, you know, who may not readily recognize the differences. He is awesome at helping teachers understand that certain behaviors, okay, for certain behaviors, students shouldn't be kicked out of class. Right? Or for certain behaviors, certain things, students shouldn't be expelled for. Okay, you will be appalled at some of the reasons that students get kicked out of school for. Okay? Swearing. Right? A student says a swear word, and now they got to go down to the office, miss an entire day of school, got to go have a conversation, get lectured, you know, and, you know, who knows what else. Sometimes even get suspended, all for a swear word when it's, I mean, it's not something I'm really a proponent of, but it's something that is a part of our culture, and it's something that can be easily dealt with. And there are teachers that will send a student out and try to get them kicked out for, you know, throwing paper, you know, things in the classroom that maybe aren't appropriate. But certainly, if you stop for a second, keep the other students busy, have a short conversation with this student about, you know, what he should be saying, what he should not be saying in classroom. A lot of times, the simple conversation, recognizing that the young person is in the learning process, it's probably something that they hear all the time, right? And it can just be alleviated really easily. So Jeremy Patterson is, you know, our principal, sending out emails saying, okay, don't kick kids out of your classrooms for this. Okay, make sure that you meet the student where they are instead of assuming that. Because the teacher is somebody that sets a certain standard and it's completely unacceptable, doesn't mean it's unacceptable for the student. And if it's unacceptable in the classroom, it has to be communicated effectively, right? Your rules and standards have to be communicated effectively, and you shouldn't be getting rid of students based on minor offenses. So the climate starts at the top. You have the the principals to have the conversation with the teachers, the teachers to have the conversation with the students, the teachers have the conversation with the parents and all other stakeholders. And there is where the climate begins. It begins with everybody recognizing how important diversity is and certain allowances that should be made, and really making an effort to understand instead of putting forth your biases and your prejudices. You know, those are the first thing that has to go if you're going to teach in a public school or really anywhere in America nowadays, because most schools are diverse. Okay, your prejudices, your bias, whatever you came thinking about African-Americans, whatever you came thinking about Arabs, whatever you came in thinking about Latinos and minorities, it has to go. Okay, and the moment that you feel like, you know, you have a student, an African-American student who's exhibiting, you know, certain traits that you aren't familiar with, you seek to understand it instead of taking a step back and being afraid, you know, when you see a young lady who is just, you know, naturally kind of loud. You don't get upset when that person is, you know, talking to somebody next to them, but they're yelling. You don't send them out of class, you know, tell them that, oh, you can't be yelling in my class. You put them aside and you have a conversation about, you know, volume, right? So there I am going off again, man. But, again, it starts at the top, man, for me. And it's been a tremendous difference at our school already, just with the change up in administration. It's made a tremendous difference. I've heard it from teachers. I've heard it from parents. So we're actually experiencing that topic you just asked me right now. And that's an awesome question.
Oh, yeah. I understand how you say, like, is everybody in the school climate and stuff. We got some teachers out here when kids be loud and stuff that say that you're interrupting the class when no other student is paying attention because they're sitting there trying to learn. And me, that happened to me quite often because I grew up in a family where everybody just spoke loud. And I can't
right.
do it like that.
Me too.
Teacher told me that I was interrupting class. And, you know, that made me mad that she would say that to me when I'm sitting here trying to learn, even though I was being loud and I know I was. I had an issue with controlling it. Instead of her just waiting until the end of class to pull me to the side and to ask me to nicely work on it, instead of her saying that you interrupted the class and then me getting sent out because she gave me an attitude because she didn't have to say that in front of everybody when she could just kept teaching.
And that kills self-esteem, you know, when you are just being you and you're being punished for it. And like you said, it's a simple conversation. Maybe you have to have the conversation three or four times. But if that's what's necessary and it solves the issue for this student going forward, right? Because if it's been a problem, being loud is an issue up to this point. Nobody has really had that conversation with you, or you need to be reminded. Okay, but the moment that somebody reminds you or starts that conversation with you, you are aware of it. Right. And you make a conscious effort, as long as the teacher or whoever is in charge is respectful and not calling you out and singling you out for something that you feel is natural to you, right? They pull you aside, and that's what I often do in my classroom. Okay, I really try not to single people out, especially if I know it's something that's natural to them. And, you know, I really try to have the conversation, let them know from my point of view why it needs to change, and then also get feedback from the student. Okay, do you agree with me? Does this make sense to you? Right? Ultimately, it's the academic success of every student, right? And just because you're not familiar with the way another student acts or behaves doesn't mean they should have a disadvantage. And the fact when you are talking loud, you may be asking a question, you know, about math. You know, who knows what you were talking about, even if it was off topic. You know, if it was loud, there's no reason for you to get excused from class because now you're a day behind. And maybe you missed homework assignment. Maybe you missed, a warning about a test coming up, you know. And even more importantly, you just feel like you accept it. You feel like this teacher don't understand you. You feel like this is not a place where you can contribute and feel comfortable because this teacher obviously – okay, maybe they don't have it out for you, but they are not putting themselves in position because a lot of times teachers haven't had the proper training because the climate, it doesn't happen itself. I mentioned a second ago how important it is for our school leaders to have that conversation. But for teachers, it isn't natural, so they have to learn from somewhere. So it may not even be the teachers either, but that's another conversation to be had.
I mean, I have heard of students pulling teachers aside near the end of the class to have a conversation with them and to tell them how they feel, and some teachers just don't care about that. They think that it was automatically their fault.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and that's, again, stepping back. I'm sorry. What was that?
I said that can really hurt their feelings, and that part how you said they'd be missing class and missing homework. Once a kid gets so far behind in homework after them being caught up in everything, it's hard for them to catch back up and stay on topic. That's really where everyone starts to bomb and go down because they don't want to do this anymore. They feel like they can't succeed or keep up with anything after all that just went down and was unnecessary.
Absolutely, man. It's just a complete downward spiral, and it's unfortunate because it's not the student's responsibility. A lot of teachers think it is. Like, oh, you're in class, it's your fault, okay? It is not the student's responsibility. It's not the student's responsibility to make themselves feel included in the classroom environment. I mean, it is to a certain extent, okay? But who wants to go to a class, right? I don't think even most adults. They don't like going to a job where they boss always is telling them about stuff or picking little things out or they're real petty. You know, nobody wants to go to a job like that. In fact, you hate it. And Sunday night when you got to, you know, when you're getting ready to go to work in the morning, you regret it and you're resentful and bitter. So that's almost like saying you should want to go to work anyway, even if you don't like your boss, even if you don't like your, you know, the environment, the climate at your job. Now, you're going to go because you need that paycheck, but there's no paycheck to be earned in the classroom. I mean, the reward is knowledge, but that is a way of thinking that is, you know, that it takes a really advanced type of student to realize that they're getting paid in information and in knowledge, right? And most students don't think that way. So when they don't like a class, they won't go. They'll get behind, and they'll perform poorly instead of, you know, reaching out to the student. It's not really the student's job, or reaching out to the teacher, I'm sorry. It's not the student's job to reach out to the teacher. It's the opposite.
Mm-hmm. We unfortunately have 2 minutes and 16 seconds, but I would like one last opinion from you. As a teacher and stuff, and you know how these things happen, certain students, when they go there and they know they're not making paycheck, but the smart ones know that their paycheck is knowledge. All such students are really asking for is just a real respect. You ain't got to, like, put us out in front of everybody. That makes us feel bad. That's all we really want is a little bit of respect.
Man, and in all honesty, that's probably the biggest thing about the classroom climate for me. It's mutual respect. You treat these young people like they're human beings. You have conversations with them. You talk to them about their behavior. You talk to them about what they aren't learning or how they can learn better. You talk to them about what's going on outside of school, a huge one, being interested in what's going on once they leave, once that bell rings at 2:28 or 3 o'clock. You have to make sure that you respect their way of life. You have to respect their academic abilities, and you have to respect them as a person. And that alone, in all honesty, I feel like make students want to come to my class because they feel like since the respect is mutual, they're going to be treated fairly, right? Because,
well,
you know, no matter, and it doesn't matter whether you have 100% or 0% in my class, okay? I am not going to yell at you. I'm not going to, well, you know, most of the time, I'll be honest, we're going to be 100%, but it's really about the respect. Now, there's more, but I know we got to cut off.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, you have been listening to Yarn, the voice of today's youth, where we discuss real-life issues impacting kids in school. We thank our guest today, Mr. John Brandon, for coming on with a very insightful discussion about kids and teachers in the classroom. How do we build a working relationship? Until tomorrow, have a safe holiday, blessed holiday, and we'll see you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.